Hey everybody, I'm Tony. Welcome to Finding Subjects Podcast. Each week I head out with my camera, find a subject to photograph, person, place, or thing, it doesn't matter, then interview or discuss that subject, and then share it all with you right here on Finding Subjects Podcast. Today on Finding Subjects, episode 71, we interview a man I met on the front lawn of Independence Hall in the real, true cradle of liberty in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Bostonians will disagree with that, but I will disagree back. He shares a piece of his life with us and gives us his perspective about being a person of color in today's world.
So I got a new friend here today.
Got a new brother here. It's Philadelphia and a Philadelphian. Brother you love always.
So what are you doing down here today? Looks like you're looking at schematics.
I'm doing a little sketching here. So sex, money, and murder. And then the overlay on top of that is life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
Beautiful.
So it goes on top of that. But just reflecting in this exact moment, but the story I was going to connect with you on is Hands Across America. So I was one of the kids picked to sing.
Really?
For the video footage. So me, I was like on the local Inquirer face page. So just coming back here, like what would it be, like 30 plus years later to kind of reflect in this American moment. But to sketch some thoughts out of my brain. But, you know, like you say, Philadelphia has so many moments. And just growing up Philly, I'm just afforded the opportunity to pick up my breadcrumbs.
You said something earlier just about being in this moment and dealing with everything that we're going through. That's why I'm here today. I just had to take a ride, and sometimes I do a music ride just to listen to clear my head, and I ended up here. And I was nervous about coming down. I was with my daughter the other day. We went down to this tent area.
Yep.
And where Black Lives Matter are, and the folks were, you know, looking for housing and such. And I've always preached to my kids about understanding each other. Everybody's a story. Everybody's a narrative. A narrative, yeah. Man. And, you know, never to glass over and put everybody in the same container.
Right.
That when we approach somebody, we meet somebody different and new. That's who you, to your meeting, that person right there. They're not defined by everybody else that might be doing something. So last night I kind of got caught up on social media a little bit, and I was watching,
yeah, okay.
I was watching some disturbing videos of people getting beat up, and it was so hateful, and I really stepped back, and the kids came that night to say goodnight, and they're like, what is wrong with you, man? And I'm like, I'm just in a bad place right now. I mean, I talk about the vortex of negativity often and how do we have to stay out of it.
Yep.
And there I was, sucked right in.
Yeah.
So today I just woke up and I'm like, look, I gotta realize that these hateful people that we're seeing on all sides, they don't represent who we are as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And in that aspect, we have to be better than that and continue being kind to each other, showing empathy and respect, but also simultaneously understanding we all come from different places.
Yeah.
And in that aspect, your upbringing, my upbringing, everyone else's upbringing is all a different narrative, a different story. And we have to understand that, I think, out of respect for humankind.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I'm talking too much. Come on.
Well, here's the answer to your question of, like, did I make this shirt?
Yeah.
And it's going to wrap into some of the points you were making. Yes, I did make this shirt.
Very cool shirt.
So part of the shirt, the narrative, is reclamation of self. I'm a survivor of police brutality. Basically, 10 cops beat me to death. Grace of God, I'm still here. But part of coming back from deep depression, like the PTSD and, like, everything, I channeled like that vortex of whatever that was holding a lot of my brain and a lot of my body in kind of this limbo into this shirt. So as it reads, I am unbreakable.
Can you hold that up?
Yep, I'll stand up for you. But it's kind of, you know, like Mr. Glass wrapping in there, but it's like I am unbreakable. And it's all from the, like, you know, when you're getting beat to death and the last thing you're screaming is like, I can't breathe, I'm American. And there's a choir boy chorus of laughter of officers just, you know, just having a sport with me. And it's like, to be able to channel it into this art piece was therapeutic. But then the back of it is also ripped up. Remember the picture that's in everyone's textbook? Like, here's what a slave looks like. But if I say 2 to 3 years ago is when I made this, and I literally was shaking when I was walking down the street, but I had to do it to myself to say, oh, dude, because I wasn't even leaving my house. The depression and, like, the trauma was, like, so thick. There was, ugh. But then it was like, you know, make this in the basement for about a month and a half just to, like, channel this rage, but then actually taking it to the point of, like, I'm going to leave the house today. I'm going to wear this to, like, show myself it's okay and safe to be outside, but I'm also going to be, like, full force with it. And, like, I literally was shaking the whole time I wore this shirt for the first time, like, maybe 2-3 years ago. I don't wear it that much, but...
The message behind it, now that you explain it, is one of the most powerful things I've ever seen in art.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
It's profound, man.
Profound. And I'm doing this, imagine this pre-George Floyd riot. So it was like a different tone, climate, and everything. But it's like now it's kind of like I wear it, people are like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
But it's now at a point of like I'm not shaking, I'm more confident with it. And it's just like something I'm like, oh, it's above 80 plus. So I'm like, all right, I think I can wear it today. But it's kind of like similarly what, you know, nothing happens by accident, but what brought us together. It's like coming back here. Like here, because like part of my mental psyche is like, you know.
Let's remind people of where we are sitting at right now.
Right, we're like right across from Independence Hall, 5th and Chestnut, staring across the cobblestones, past George Washington statue into the hall. So similar to like if it was the summer of 76, we would have been standing on the street gritting. Kids don't grit anymore. You're like, yo, who's coming through? These boys from Virginia driving into town. Oh, he's coming in from New England. Like, oh, Philly guys are gritting. Like, where we at?
Yeah.
Where you got today, gentlemen?
Yeah.
So it's just part of that whole heritage of being in Philadelphia and being raised Philly, and but also being American. And, you know, we're spoiled. We're in the cradle. We grew up and we live in the cradle. We vibrate very differently.
If I may use your words, I vibrate a little bit differently.
Absolutely.
I'm all about... I don't want to use the word peace, love, Bobby Sherman type of thing, you know what I mean?
But yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's about harmony, it's about empathy, respect for each other, no matter what our walks of life is, and hopefully you'll get an opportunity to listen to the podcast, and you'll hear the people that I approach are people from everywhere, but what I always want to know is, you know, media and life has us so separated.
Absolutely.
But how close are we truly to being alike? And let me tell you something, everybody I've met throughout this entire world,
right.
We all have the same concerns. We all have the same wants and needs, but yet somebody...
Why don't you put your pretend face down?
We are all one, man.
Right?
And it was really sad for me last night to see that, and I get overwhelmed by it, and my kids are like, you got to step back. And someone said to me today, they reminded me, disconnect to connect, Tone, because I always say that on the podcast.
Okay.
Put something positive in your life, like finding subjects. I had to remind myself of what I'm out there, my mantra, man. I saw you today and I'm out here taking pictures of Independence Hall, and there's this hawk up on top of the weather vane, which is like amazing.
Yeah.
And I couldn't help but keep glancing back at you wearing this American hat during these turbulent times.
Yeah.
And there's a story there, and I knew that I was compelled to come over here and speak to you about it. Maybe you can take us through a little bit. What happened?
It's hard from the standpoint of, like...
It can't just
on
go...
On that day, like, say, maybe I'll bring you through the police brutality of it. Went out there right as tech was starting to become common. So was out there before the first bubble, and... You know, you needed to tie your shoes and know how to brush your hair, and you got a job. That's the way it was. But a little bit, like, big tech wasn't established and dominant. The tone of the city had changed. Like, even though brutality and the shrinking African-American population was real, but it was like, but it just kind of played out. And then they had this, you know, phenomenon of, like, tech. Like, did it be a tech? So it's like, oh, wait, nouveau riche. And, like, you know, the billionaires of the day, like, explode. But then the culture of the... town changed, and it was a stop and frisk city that wasn't a stop and frisk city. So before my brutality experience physically, I had been stopped and frisked. So I got super upset. As a person of color, the police department long had a abusive reputation, but then a lot of that was tapped into the gang violence or like the cartel XYZ. It kind of like didn't mix when you have some of the most expensive retail and dining strips mixed in, and then you're like, wait a minute, all this isn't about crime prevention, it's about setting a tone or whatever. So it's very common, if you're paying attention, is wait, why every two blocks is there someone being stopped on the sidewalk? And then it became like, wow, this is like overwhelming after year. And then it became to a point of like, it was that thing. And then when I was like stopped and frisked and been like, wait a minute, they have no cause to stop me. This is, they want to make an example. They want to set, and I'm like, why? It was a Saturday morning. I'm like, but it, you know, I turned in my citizen's complaint, and I had to go sit back 6 months later and be like, what's happening with my citizen's complaint? And they're like, we got to look into that. So I'm like, oh, wait. And then my brain started to become a little bit engaged in the reality because I'm like, oh, they're not going to look into this. They're not going to, the city's not going to tell on itself. And then a year and a half later, I saw a woman with four young men, less than 18 years old. And the youngest of the four was shaking with fear to the point that it caused me to like get off my bike, stop, and tell the police officers that I'm stopping to observe this detention. And at that point, two male officers turned their attention to me, and they would not let me leave. And then once they grabbed a hold of me and threw me to the ground and dragged me into the street some 20 to 30 feet and started beating on me, and every cop that showed up just joined in and whipping, beating, kicking, stomping, doing whatever. So imagine a basketball game and you're the basketball. And they just keep bouncing, dribbling, doing whatever to you until the air is all gone. And then you wake up to find out that you're getting charged with felony assault charges and you're in jail, concussed. And I couldn't even get checked in a county jail because they would not take me without going to the hospital. But this was like kind of like right as video became like, oh, video. So it wasn't like a lot of video documented stories, but the stories were kind of problem. Like it was kind of like, oh, you come from the, oh, cool. We know. Yeah. We already know. Right. So just take your deal. I'm like, I'm not taking a deal. Like, I will ride this all the way to, I'll take it to trial. If I get found guilty, so it is, but I'm not going to lie. I'm like, you already whooped me on the streets. There's no way I'm going to like, okay, cool. I'll take probation and X. And it was like, the way it was written, the way my charges were given to me, I would have been charged. And if I ever got out of jail, I would have already been at the three strikes threshold. So anything from that point, I would have been life in jail. It's like the whole thing. And then like the public defenders that they kept setting me up with until I got enough money to get my own lawyer were like, look, just take this deal. Take the deal. I'm like, no, I'm not taking the deal. But the whole experience of it was phenomenal because I had a core group of friends as well as the biking community that stepped up big time. Fundraisers, but also the biggest thing that kept showing up at court with me. So a diverse chorus of 15 and 20 people that sit in the crowd every single time I was in court had a profound effect because some of the troubling things that I experienced when I would have to show up for court were so many young people that go to court and they get pulled out in an orange jumpsuit and then they realize, oh, this is not a game and I'm so alone and so scared and I just agreed to everything this public defender told me to agree to and I'm screwed. But that was like the bulk of what I saw. It wasn't like, oh, that happened once or twice. I was like, oh, wait. Like 70% of the kids that get brought up here, like, they're lost. Then some of them were like 17, 18, 19 years old. I'm like, dude, they're not monsters. You're like a little bit confused and like a little bit misdirected. And some of their stuff wasn't even criminal. And you're like, wait a minute, you're getting...
And this was what year?
This was 2012. In my opinion, the whole, it needs to be broken down and rebuilt. And then some of it isn't honest. Like my whole experience is like, yeah, it comes from a lot of our chattel slavery kind of dynamic and it's baked into what it is. And it's like so weird that some of this stuff is just career stuff. Like if I do 5 years in the DR's office, it gets me to there. But if I play this game, if I convict enough, but also make sure I speak up in the right time in the courtroom, I'll be a federal judge. But it's like all like you like sitting, because it took me a year and a half to get my charges dropped. And it was like basically education. It's not what you see on TV. Go to a courtroom and say, oh, let's go close chambers. Let's talk about this now. And then we'll come out. Because everyone's not the whole dance of what isn't on the same. So we're looking really stupid. And that's what helped with having witnesses or people to support me. We're like, dude, this is bizarre. We didn't realize that this is bizarre. I do think that now there's more eyeballs on it. The conversation is being elevated. I think you're getting more people that are going into the legal profession, but with a bigger vision versus like, hey, you're taught this in school. Well, I may come from this upbringing, so I don't really understand, but hey, but it's kind of like it's becoming a bigger conversation. People are getting exposed more, but also people are realizing that like it isn't happening in silence anymore because of the video. And I do also, some of the feelings that I got were cops that were trapped inside the blue vest.
I would have to segue and ask you that question. I'm sure, I'm not going to speak for you, and I'm not going to lead you.
Yep.
I just saw a piece of graffiti the other day. Blue lives murder.
Yeah.
But, again, wouldn't that be incorrect in my eyes? Because is that true all the way? Of course it's not. Yep. You know, there's good people within all of us. And this is, I think, the problem I'm having with it sometimes, that we are so quick to judge everyone. I believe in humanity. I believe there are good people out there everywhere. You know, whether it's North Philly, Chester, you can't go in there with the mindset that absolutely everyone that I'm going to encounter is going to be a criminal.
This adversarial approach, so like, I'm going in the war. You're like, Well, the one thing I heard, one of the talking heads, because I'm in the same boat as you, I have to kind of take my news and do, and I kind of had to pick and choose, but also kind of like make a full lap around all the talking heads to kind of like form my own opinion. Yeah. But I do.
See, I hold your thought. Hey now. I think that's important, because what I told my kids going into school, you're going to see people, you're going to deal with people that are different from you. You're going to be told things that you might have not ever heard. Take it all in.
Yep.
But investigate and form your own educated opinion.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, we got a couple more things.
But one thing I did hear that was like kind of thought-provoking was in the way police are trained and educated, like taking it from like a 6-7 month academy training to like a 2-year like associate's level. Like you're gonna have like maybe like 20 to 24 core courses that cover the full spectrum of like mental health, also like history, to just like the, you know, having a well-rounded kind of like, all right, cool. Sometimes I tell friends like I live to tell, because sometimes it's very hard. Like I don't share that story with hardly anyone. It took me about, I didn't really start going back to it until like a year and a half, 2 years ago. Like I just didn't.
Hopefully it wasn't a trigger for you, man. Hopefully you're
cool. Nah, it's good. Because I was like basically like I would tell folks, oh yeah, I just had a bad night and just got beat up a little bit. And just and then like when the video era started coming up, and then the videos would go on and like
that's a trigger. Shit. You're seeing.
And then like
you're back.
And then like my mind would react to stuff I didn't even know happened because like it was so brutal. I was like, you know, like you check out in some ways, but then it's like, when those videos started going, like hearing things like, oh, wait a minute, my mind hears things, it thinks it's back in this, you know, fight or flight situation. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, like, oh, sugar.
A lot of people will say, don't run, you won't get hurt. Okay, I'm being straight up with you.
Dude, I do. Yeah. The whole thing of like going from the stop and frisk to like actually being put in a position where I'm like, I would have stopped for anybody, and it didn't matter what race they are. If I see a little kid shaking, and I'm like, hell no, like, done. I'm there, witness. I'm not an instigator. I'm just like, because it's like, I've been on the ground face down with cops talking to me, all kinds of creepy stuff, but it's just like, at least one person could have saw that I'm a human and witnessed, like, how weird and awkward. So it's like, I wanted to extend that to another human being, especially a young human being. But it was just the fight or flight. But just like you're saying, like there is no right way. Like when it all started going down, and then the police were like, you, we don't want you here. But then they're not letting me leave. So it's like, where'd I go? And like, I couldn't run because I was like cornered. But then if I do try to fight my way out of it, because like, after I got stopped and frisked and the way I was like handled and handcuffed and all that, I never went in handcuffs on me. Unless I did something wrong. Wow. It's like, I don't want, like, I'm like, don't touch me. But first, let's go talk. Let's talk it out. Oh, wait. I'm like, it's over. Once they got within 10 feet of me, I'm like, there's nothing I can do right now. But then it's like, all right, you're going to slam me to the ground. Oh, wait, you're going to drag me to the street. Oh, wait, you're going to start kicking and beating. Oh, wait, like, what can I do? And I was like, and I couldn't, like, as best as I could control my body, I just had to lay there. Like, I couldn't flinch. I couldn't do anything weird. I couldn't do, like, because it was such a free-for-all. And it's like, all I'm doing is, like, like, dude, there's nothing.
So, where do we go from here, man? When you're out there every day dealing with the public, and then you're getting a 911 call, you're showing up, and now you're dealing with, just say it's a guy with a knife. Well, what if he's bipolar? What if he's has a serious mental issue? You know what I mean? Do you? I can say this. I'm not on the front lines. I'm not a police officer.
Yeah.
I have friends who are, It's a dangerous job because you are the first one called and you're coming into an unknown situation.
And they got to deal with so much, like you're saying. Just because kids, like, how would dump mental health onto the streets versus, like, you know, there used to be care, more care institutions that were available. And now it's like, oh, no, they're not. Gone, defunded,
and then,
like
And
that.
Then also, let's just say, you know, whatever community you come from, oh, you need a little bit of mental health. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Oh, you a freak? People aren't understanding about
that.
It goes and goes, but
longer training.
Understanding.
And it's like having these conversations because it is like, it's more so race conversations or American conversations or care conversations or humanity conversations or however you want to shape it. But it's like kind of like touching when I was like, oh, once people take off the pretend mask. It's like, you know, some people have agendas. Some people are like, okay, the FOP is this, and we just, they tell us and we follow, versus folks are like, oh no, like, this is a time of change, let's shape it. Let's be the lead in terms of examples of, like, implementing a different way. Versus, like, this is policing. It's like, I got hyper-militarized and, like, going a different way. I'm like, but we also live in, like, a lot more violent, a lot more confusing times. But it's also kind of like, you know, we just have to nuance our conversations in terms of being honest and open. Like, okay, we went as a society and as a people. All lives matter, Black lives matter, you know, humanity matters. Like you're saying, people are connected so closely.
You're never, versus, so many will never know that.
Yeah,
because so many can't take that mask off, man.
Yeah.
They were born, to take your words, they were baked into
a
situation and a mindset that they, you know, when that's ingrained in you, one of the most fascinating things is, you know, you and I can take a walk around the city and point to people. You don't know what's in their mind.
Yes.
You don't know where people are coming from.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So, and that's something that is very well hidden by people. There's nothing more rewarding to me than a conversation. It's
right.
The conversation that I search the world for.
Yeah.
And so thankful for. You know, it's weird, man. I left the house praying for a little bit of a mindset, and here I go meeting you.
That's the same
How
way.
How cool,
I
man.
Am.
Are you a spiritual guy at all, or I'm just curious?
Altar boy of the year.
Transfiguration. I wasn't altar boy of the year.
Not, I have like a Catholic upbringing. That's like never left me. But I go to church more so now. It's like, and I go to any church. Like sometimes I go to the Basilica.
It's like you and I are.
But I'm like,
it's like me talking right here.
Yeah. But it's like I cut out the middleman in terms of like.
Dude, my words.
Yeah.
I say that all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I said that to my mom and dad when I was growing up. They're like, what do you mean you cut out? You got to talk to a priest. I'm like, when I pray, is God listening? Well, yes, he is. I said, well, if I'm telling my prayers and my sins to God, is he still listening? Well, you still got to go through the church. I said, I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm
like super Catholic still. But
yeah.
From the standpoint of it's like, it's given me the that foundation to be humble enough to know and believe in a creative force that put me here, and also that spiritual connection of like, while I'm here, I got to be spiritually connected to, this is the universe.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, like speaking with, not to, and all that, but it's like, that's why I believe I'm here. Like part of it, like you're saying, it is this walk to meditate in this moment, but also connect to something, this vibration or frequency of now. So this is like coming back to center. This is me coming back to being Hands Across America singing, or like coming
Amazing.
Back to like just this spot, but also on that deeper level, you know.
You are in this moment, you're very mindful, not only everything that has happened to you prior in your life, but to this moment right now, and you're living. Most people aren't that way. They're just thinking about tomorrow all the time, and maybe they're not being as philosophical as you and I can be.
Yeah.
But I think that's extremely important, that while you're here, every second, especially when you've been through an adversity, a life-changing adversity and a life-threatening adversity, or you have a pre-existing health condition like me, I think we do get more attuned. We do get more attuned to what is important in life and how short life truly is in each moment. Man, I don't know. I mean, you're awake is what I want to say. You know what I mean?
Which is really cool.
We're
awake for the most part.
There's a lot of sleepwalkers, sleepwalkers
and potentially more so like having those courageous conversations. And I wanted to add authentically courageous conversations.
Yeah.
Not the show and go, like, hey, I talked to this person, I talked to a different person just to like check it off my diversity conversation.
Listen,
like,
man.
Versus like talking with, versus to, like having that, you know, that authentic, like, hey, I'm connecting to the soul of you or the spirit of you, and like giving you my spiritual kind of connectivity in this moment. Bennett, I was like, whoa. Because it's like, not that I say like everyone's going to think on levels that we're thinking of, be able to have a natural dialogue at ease. And it's like, you know.
I think we're an exception, sadly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which kind of segues to another question. Speaking to young minds, you know what I mean? Like maybe young minds in the black community, African American. What do you, first of all, may I ask, what do you black person prefer, African American or black? See, I love that I can ask this question because I don't know, you hear everything. I mean,
how about this, like American?
Huh? Yo,
American. But it's like this, personal love, I define it. Like if someone asks me, I go Zambian, Philadelphian.
Zambian, Philadelphia.
Yeah, my dad's
cool.
From Zambia. My mom's from North Philly. They,
all right.
They met college, but and that's more in that.
So your mindset as an African American, are you an outlier in your community in regards to how you think, or are?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
There's so many people that are on the same frequency and brainwave that get it. But some are so worn down. Some are like getting more inspired just by seeing other examples.
I never expected a great conversation like this, but I learned a lot. And I think that's the most important thing. We cannot go walking through life thinking we know it all. If you don't walk through life with an inquisitive mind,
yeah,
you are just going to be an ignorant person your entire life, because
yeah,
you cannot trust just what everybody says to you is Bible. Again, trust but verify.
Yeah.
Like I've told my children, listen to the stories. There's three sides of every story.
Every story, yeah.
Every story.
Yep.
That side, and somewhere a wavering needle in the middle that has the truth of it within it. And we have to open our minds to that. So in everything in life, trust but verify in that way.
Yep. But what's the saying? Like, it's what you learn after you think you know everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where knowledge comes. Yeah.
Dude, there's my picture right there, looking at you right now.
Oh snap!
Oh, it's cool, dude. And I want to get one with the whole shirt.
This is my grandmom's scarf. So.
Look over at me. Yeah, there it is. And then I'm going to get one more with everything. I'm going to have to back up just a little bit. Very cool. Okay,
Because now you've got me inspired, because literally I've been in a lock, and that's why I go sketching that out, because I'm like trying to make something.
It's finding subjects for me. I go out with this camera and it locks everything else out in my life. You know what I mean? I don't think about, you know, the anxiety or having a heart problem or, you know, just financial problems, you know, back at home, worrying about the kids or whatever it is and the world.
That's what my bike is.
Yeah, and it used to be for me. Before I had a heart problem, I was a heavy biker, man.
Yeah.
But now it's like, okay, let me go concentrate on this. And listen, we're okay to put this up?
Yes, it's a go.
You heard it. I just really want to thank you so much for being on Finding Subjects. And again, all I ever ask is if you'd share the show. And I think a message like this is extremely important that we get it to as many people as we possibly can.
Well, that about wraps this episode for this week. Hey, you learn anything? If I learned anything, it's to open one's mind, to question everything, trust but verify. Get out there and have some intelligent conversations with people and educate yourself. We go through every day sometimes thinking we know it all. I know personally I'm learning something every day. Hopefully we can be positive people, positive to all those around us, and make a difference in this world. For that, I'm Tony. This was Finding Subjects Podcast. And don't forget, findingsubjects.org, findingsubjects.com, Finding Subjects Podcast on Instagram, Finding Subjects on Facebook, Finding Subjects Podcast on Twitter. Thank you very much for being here. See you next week.